Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for listening this week. We always appreciate you taking the time of your busy schedule to be part of the program, and this week is no different, as we, hard to believe, are in nearly the midpoint of the month of August. It is hard to believe the year is just flying by, but it's also a good time to remember to start thinking about that fall travel season that starts in earnest as we get past Labor Day, get into September, get into October. There are all kinds of conferences out there, whether they're the Southwest Association of Rail Shippers Conference, of which I'm a board member, whether they're the FTR Conference in downtown Indianapolis every year. You need to start making plans to be at these industry events, get the latest and greatest information and thoughts about what your peers are thinking about where the industry is headed as we go through the next several months, and hard to believe, start thinking about 2024. The FTR Transportation Conference is right out of the bat. It's the leadoff hitter, if you will, of the fall travel season. September 11th to the 14th at the Crown Plaza Union Station in downtown beautiful Indianapolis. You will want to be there. We have four great days of content. We have a day for truck and trailer equipment, a day for truck freight, a day for rail and intermodal freight, as well as a day for rail equipment. You have four great days of opportunity to get information, work things through the system, and really think about what the forecast is for the tracks and the road ahead. You go to www.ftrconference.com. You can get all the information you could ever want, information about how to register, how to get hotel rooms, as well as some of the great speakers you're going to hear from over four great days in Indianapolis coming up about a month from now. You will not want to miss it. Get in, get registered, get things through, and we will see you there in person, in the flesh, in Indianapolis in a month's time. Well, let's jump in now. Let's talk about the latest week's data. Well, intermodal volumes took a small step down in the latest week, driven by predominantly the trailer market, particularly when you think about intermodal. Trailers are the small piece of the puzzle. They're about 10% of the overall market, and that is continuing to fall as volumes come down. And we'll talk a little bit about why that is when we get to the trailer market. On the carload side of the house, volumes moved down much more significantly, and they moved down much more significantly, particularly on economically sensitive freight, particularly in the economically sensitive freight category that is, as longtime listeners to the podcast know, it is one of the key categories that we need to keep an eye on as we think about not just 2023, but 2024, 2025, and beyond. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go through the program. But let's now jump in. Let's talk about intermodal. And you can see on an overall intermodal basis, the volume was fairly steady, down a little bit, down very slightly, down about a little over 5% on a year-over-year basis, essentially at the same absolute level, right around 327,000 carloads a week that we've been at for really since the midpoint of the second quarter when you exclude holidays. We really haven't seen too much deviation at all. We haven't seen too much increase. We also haven't seen too much decrease. We remain a step function below last year, a step function below the five-year average, and we're not seeing any sign of a peak season. We're not seeing any sign of upward momentum here in the intermodal market. That's important as we go through the weeks and months ahead to understand that we have no sign of a peak season. And so those year-over-year comparisons are going to get tougher and tougher as we go, because typically you see an uptick as we go through the next month, month and a half or so, and we're just not expecting to see that materialize in any meaningful way over the next few weeks. The trailer market, the small, as I talked about off the open, the small, almost little brother of the intermodal market, you can see the last 2 weeks have had significant downward momentum. We had been relatively stable, right around or just below 15,000 trailers a week for most of the year, really all of the year, until the last couple of weeks, and then it's sort of fallen off a table. You can see the divergence between where we were and where we were last year and the five-year average. It has grown over the last several weeks. We were down only about 20% on a year-over-year basis, 15% in some weeks. Now we're back where we were earlier in the year, down 30% in the trailer market on a year-over-year basis. And what we think is driving that, in large part, is really two things. You have seen some statements out from UPS over the last couple of days about how their volumes were soft because of people moving volumes ahead of a potential strike at the end of July. The strike didn't end up happening, but the volumes may have gone elsewhere, and that may have reduced how much parcel volume from UPS was available to move by intermodal trailer. The other thing that has happened in the last couple weeks is the bankruptcy of the less-than-truckload carrier Yellow Freight. Now, why does a less-than-truckload carrier matter? Well, Yellow was one of the few LTL firms that did an awful lot of trailer business, an awful lot of 28-foot, particularly trailer business that moved by rail, was freight that was in the Yellow network. And so as Yellow winds down, as Yellow ceases to exist, either temporarily or permanently through the bankruptcy process, that creates a volume headwind for the trailer market because the carriers that are now handling that freight may not have the same loyalty to intermodal. They may not have the same infrastructure set up to handle intermodal trailers that Yellow had. And so the step down that we've seen in the last couple of weeks, we may not bounce back from that. We may have taken a permanent leg down to that 11,000, 12,000 trailer a week level. Time will tell. It's still very early innings here. We have to see how the Yellow bankruptcy will proceed. We have to see lots of different things here. But it is certainly within the realm of possibility, if not the realm of likelihood, that trailer volumes may have moved materially down and may not move back toward that 15,000 trailer a week level that they've been at for much of 2023. We'll have to watch and see. We'll have to follow the data. But for the moment, certainly trailers are under pressure now that they were not under for much of the year. On the container side of the house, now containers are 90% of the intermodal market. And you can see that the container market really just very, very slight degradation on a sequential basis. Really almost nearly flat, just below, just under, oh, call it 324,000 carloads a week. We're not really moving much off of that level. We're pretty consistently 5% off of last year and the five-year average. And as I said earlier, we don't expect that to meaningfully change. We don't expect there to be a peak season over the coming weeks. So shifting gears now and talking about the carload business, talking about the carload market. Carload volumes took a meaningful step down in the latest week. You look at those volumes, they definitely came down. Now, that's not entirely unexpected. You look at what happened last year. We took a meaningful sequential step down in the very same week. So it is not necessarily unprecedented. It is not necessarily unexpected that carload volumes came down. The question will be, do they recover? Do they come back the way they did last year? and time will tell. I say time will tell because if we look at the economically sensitive freight volumes, we see a much more significant sequential downshift than we saw in overall carload business. You see a strong give back down essentially to just below 200,000 carloads a week. Okay, we haven't been below that level since the middle of the second quarter, save for the 4th of July holiday, save for the Memorial Day holiday, where there was one less working day in the week. We're back essentially to our five-year average. That's still above last year, still 2.5% or so percent above last year's level, but it is essentially returning to normal. And so we'll have to watch as we go forward. Do we continue to hug the five-year average? Do we take a further step down, or do we bounce back up? Do we get back to that 3-4% growth that's been more common, more typical of economically sensitive freight over the course of 2023? Now, in case this is your first time listening to the program, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, what we are really talking about is what some folks call core carload freight, and that we strip out the coal, we strip out the agriculture, we strip out petroleum, and we get to just those sectors that are more closely tied, more closely responsive to the underlying economy. Things like lumber and wood, things like metals, things like automotive. Those are the sort of sectors we're looking at and capturing in this number. And those are also the categories that are going to drive volume growth forward as we go through not just 2023, but 2024, 2025, and beyond. And so you need to pay attention to this commodity grouping to understand the carload markets, to understand the growth opportunities within the carload markets. That said, you can't just ignore the bulk businesses. Coal is still the largest carload sector by volume. It's still important. It can still move the needle on its own. And what we saw in the last week is that we saw a little bit of a sequential step down. We're down back to 73,000 carloads a week. We're potentially a little bit below last year's number, maybe about 0.5% or so below last year's number. We're well off the five-year average. We haven't seen any sign of a run-up in volumes that you typically see in the third quarter. We've held fairly flat in this 70 to 75,000 carload a week range for much of the year. And we don't see that changing. You've got low natural gas prices. You've got slumping seaborne coal prices. You've got ample inventories in the east. We really don't see coal volumes moving much at all as we go forward in time. We see it holding this level or, in fact, even declining a bit as we go through the final two quarters of the year. The other major bulk business, the grain business, it was essentially flat in the last week. There was ever the slightest of an upward tick on a sequential basis, but it really is sort of at the bottom, right around 25,000 carloads a week, and we don't expect to see it move until we get later in the third quarter, until we start to see the harvest come off in Canada and across the upper Midwest, start to see what those volumes look like when we get a run-up in volumes the last, call it 3-4 weeks of the third quarter. We would expect to see that start to happen right around the time of that FTR Transportation Conference, as a matter of fact. But until then, we really don't see that happening. We see ourselves staying right around 25,000 carloads a week. So let's step back now into the economically sensitive freight categories, and let's look at the chemicals business. Sequentially, a definite decline. We essentially gave back all of the gain that we got 2 weeks ago. And we're essentially right back to 45,000 carloads a week, a number that we've been within spitting distance of for nearly the entirety of 2023. It has not moved a whole lot. And if you look back over history, if you look at the five-year average, you look at last year's number, that's essentially a good number to use for an average year in the chemicals business. Now, we'll have to see as we go forward. What do chemicals do? Do we follow the 2022 trajectory? Do we slide off down the cliff toward the end of the year like we did in 2022? Or do we hold up better? Time will tell. There's risks and evidence that could support either scenario, either situation. We'll just have to wait and see. On the petroleum products side of the house, it also performed very similar to the overall chemical space. We gave back essentially all of the prior week's gains on a sequential basis. We are basically right on our five-year average number. We are right at the midpoint of the post-pandemic range, right around 20,000 carloads a week, where we've been for a good portion of 2023, I'll call it. Really, since the end of the first quarter onward, we haven't moved much away from that number over the course of the year, and we just continue to hold there. And we'll have to see how long we maintain that, particularly as we get into 2024, 2025, as additional pipeline projects come on in Canada. But for the moment, petroleum products is really a steady eddy category, right around 20,000 carloads a week. Stone, sand, and gravel, it took another small sequential step down. This is a really small decline here, really just a couple hundred carloads, really, from last week to this week. It's really fairly flat. But it's flat at a strong level. It's at its five-year average. It's just ever the slightest bit, maybe 1 or 2 tenths of a percent off of last year's levels. We're really holding at a strong level up north of 28,000 carloads a week for stone, sand, and gravel. And we continue to just hold that lever as we go forward. If we hold that number, we will be fine in this category for another quarter before you see a seasonal decline toward the middle and later part of the fourth quarter as the weather gets worse, as construction activity starts to roll up across some parts of the country. And until then, we would expect to see that this momentum, this 28,000 a week number, continue to be where we run for stone, sand, and gravel. Lumber and wood, the other half of the construction markets, took another significant leg down on a sequential basis. We're well off last year at this point, 10% really off of last year, more than that when it comes to the five-year average. And we're, if you look at the trend line from the start of the second quarter until now, it is decidedly down and to the right. And we'll have to see where it stops, but certainly when you look at mortgage demand, when you look at credit conditions tightening, there's not a lot of hope here for lumber markets. The question would be, do we get some stability at one of these levels, maybe around 5,500, maybe that number's 5,000 carloads a week. Do we get some stability in here that gives us a floor, that gives us a baseline to work from as we go forward, as we go through this period of higher interest rates and less housing demand? Pulp and paper, another big part of the forest products business, it has put a very nice sequential gain together. It has in the latest week, it has over the last 2 weeks. The number has come up dramatically. But we need to keep in perspective that we are bouncing off the bottom here. So even though we've had a nice recovery over the last 2 weeks, we're still below last year. We're still 5-6% off the five-year average. So yes, we're bouncing in the right direction. Yes, we're moving upward. But that still is still a weak number overall. And I'm not prepared to say that we are at the end of the malaise for pulp and paper. We've had a couple of good weeks. Yes, we've seen this movie before, and the bottom has fallen out again and gone right back to those 6,700, 6,600 carload a week fit levels. We'll just have to see what happens here. I want to see a couple more weeks of data before I'm willing to say pulp and paper is in a recovery phase. I'm not convinced, given how deep the struggle has been. When you look at the automotive markets, it's been the exact opposite story. We've been at a very strong level for much of the year. We took a little bit of a sequential step backward in the latest week, but we are still above the five-year average. We're still about 12, 13, 14% above last year's levels. We continue to run right around 25,000 carloads a week. Demand continues to be strong. Inventory continues to be low, particularly when you think about automotive compared to other sectors of the retail economy. You continue to see that motor vehicles, demand strength is still there and is continuing as we go through the third quarter. And so that's a good thing, not just because of automotive itself, but because it flows through into other commodity groups. Things like fabricated metal, things like plastic resin. You think about how much plastic is in your vehicle. I look around next time you're there, all the trim pieces, all the finishes, the mirrors, the pieces there that are plastic, and think about how much that is on an industrial scale. There's a lot of demand for other ancillary products in every finished automobile. So with that, we're going to wrap up this week. Intermodal volumes really near flat on an overall basis, down a little bit on the trailer weakness we talked about. But importantly, no expectation of a peak season this year. We don't see any sort of life in the so-called peak season. On the carload side of the house, it moved down. It moved down predominantly on weakness in economically sensitive freight. We're going to watch that weakness very closely as we go through the weeks and months ahead, because it has the potential to be longer lasting in some of these categories. And we're going to have to see what carload sector is able to step up to offset some of that as we go forward in time. Time will tell. We will just have to see. But with that, I'm going to wrap up for this week. Thank you for listening to the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update Podcast. We do appreciate each and every one of you out there. Hopefully you're able to get out and enjoy some end of summer fun here before Labor Day in the coming weeks. Hopefully we'll see you at the FTR Transportation Conference in September. And hopefully you enjoy what you're hearing on the program. Never hesitate to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team to talk about the industry, to talk about where things are headed, what you're seeing in your business. One of the reasons we get up in the morning is to talk about transportation, to talk about these issues. So never hesitate to reach out. Hope you have a great week. Hope you have a safe week. And we will talk to you again next week. As always, I am your host, Todd Trinowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal at FTR. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.